Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday. Friday, November the 7th, 2025. First Friday in the month of November. 12 and a half minutes past the hour. And many of our listeners yesterday were concerned after we made the announcement that we saw on the Peanut Butter Jelly Truck's social media page on November the 5th. The message was, our drivers are brokenhearted because they can only cover a block or so and run out of meals in 15 minutes this week. We need your help to get more meals out each night. Urgently needed, Uncrustables, drop 24/7 at 503 Ballantyne Headquarters. The need is suddenly overwhelming, and we need help getting more meals out. And as I say, this alarmed many of our listeners yesterday when we first made this announcement, with millions and millions of people going without SNAP benefits since the government shut down beginning November the 1st. Not the government shutdown beginning November the 1st. We are now, it's the longest government shutdown in the history of the United States. But the SNAP benefits did not show up last Saturday, November the 1st. So we wanted to have on this morning one of the proprietors of the Peanut Butter Jelly Truck, who has helped us a lot, certainly on Groundhog Day, Amy Orr Parker, to figure out what is going on. Amy, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Scott. I'm okay. Busy. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. This message on Wednesday, I guess it would have been, November the 5th, what precipitated this message? What happened?
Well, our peanut butter jelly trucks are used to taking about 65 meals each out around in different areas of town, playing the song to call our customers out into the street to get their meals, and then when they run out, they head back. And they usually allow about 45 minutes to an hour to run around town, find people who are hungry, and offer them the free meals. That always is a big challenge as soon as daylight savings time hits, because we can only run in the daylight, because it's absolutely not safe to have little kids running down the street chasing the peanut butter jelly truck when visibility is limited, because they might get hit by another car that's not watching for them the way we are. So that's a big problem in December, November, January, until we start having more daylight. So they have been in a little bit of a panic this week. Two of the teams came back very upset because they ran out of meals right away and then had so many hungry people on the way back begging for meals that they couldn't serve. And it just breaks their heart. The last 5 minutes of every route is always hard because we run out and we have to tell somebody, no, I'm sorry, we're out, and then go back. It's always hard on my drivers the last 5 minutes when they have to say no when they run out. But now that they only were able to serve like one block, one street, it really tore them up. So they started reaching out to me early this week and said, we can't keep doing this. And I panicked because I thought, oh my goodness, my drivers are going to burn out, because compassion fatigue is a real risk in this kind of work. And I thought, I'm going to have to equip them to meet the needs that they are dealing with out there so that they can take care of their neighbors and stay encouraged to keep the course here. So I put that post out because I had my core team together that evening and we brainstormed how we could go about doing more meals than what we've originally planned for. And we use an online scheduler for our sandwich makers, and that's kind of set up with a computer program, and I couldn't change that at the last minute to add more sandwiches, and it usually takes a month or 2 months of notice to get those slots filled up anyway, so that was not a reasonable option for us. And we have tried pre-freezing homemade sandwiches before, and they just get stale, and it doesn't work out. So we thought Uncrustables is the best way to go, because we buy them already frozen. They have the preservatives in them so that they are meant to stay fresh like that. We can supplement the 65-ish meals each truck takes out with however many meals they have the daylight left to serve. So if they are arriving at 5 o'clock and they have checked and see that dusk is hitting at 5:45, they may take 20 extra meals out. Or if it's Saturday and they have a lot of time, then they could take, you know, 150 meals out. And we decided that Crustables was the way to go. So my husband and one of our volunteers went and put a freezer on the porch of the headquarters. And we put the post up and said, please drop off Uncrustables. And Marion, in true Marion fashion, responded by dropping off Uncrustables starting immediately. My volunteers all day long were sending me pictures of that freezer totally full. Eventually, at the end of yesterday, we heard that some of the stores had sold out of Uncrustables. And that didn't surprise me because they were all in the freezers at our headquarters. So we were so pleased with Marion's response yesterday. It doesn't surprise me because this is how this agency was built, with Marion working together and responding to a crisis during the pandemic. But they really came through again this time. So last night we loaded up several trucks at different parts of town. We served more than 150 extra meals on top of what we had already planned. And we did it in less than an hour, which is usually how long it takes us to run about 60-ish meals. So the need is intense right now. It's intense.
Well, it sounds tremendous, Amy. I'm so glad that happened. Now again, run through this for us. In an hour, how many days a week and how many trucks go out and how many meals are normally served?
So our sandwich-making volunteers make 6 loaves worth of sandwiches. So that's between 60 and 70, depending on if they use the heels, depending on if they buy the sandwich loaf. So we'll say 65, just to be an average. Each truck takes 65 meals out. Every day of the week, there's at least one truck on the road. Some days a week, there's 2 trucks on the road. And now during this crisis, we're going to have 2 trucks on the road plus Big Red with me and Brock also until this is all solved. So we're going to be distributing all the extra Uncrustable meals during the next couple of days. As we get them in, we're going to cycle them right back out so that we can address this need that's happening.
Now, before the loss of the SNAP benefits for so many people, it was just the last 15 minutes of the hour. Usually you guys would possibly run out of the 65 meals.
Well, no, not exactly, because when we're out, we're done. So, like in the summer when all the kids are outside, maybe it only takes a half hour to get through them before we're done. But in the winter when the doors are closed and the heat's on and everybody's inside and they have to hear us and then have time to get the shoes on and get outside, so it does normally take us about an hour to get through the 60. But what I tell my drivers when I'm training them is remember all of the smiles and all of the thank you dances that you got through the time you were passing out. Because when you run out and you have to say, no, I'm sorry, I just ran out, it's going to feel so bad, and I want you to remember all the good stuff. So every route at the end, when they turn around to get another meal and they don't have any more, that's awful for them. It's just a heart-sinking feeling, knowing that somebody is hungry and you weren't able to feed them. And I'm pretty sure, even though they're not supposed to do this, some of my drivers go get fast food or something and take care of the people that they had to disappoint. My drivers have hearts of gold. They are amazing.
Now, Amy, in the last week, how has that need gone up? How fast were people running out of these sandwiches?
When they started complaining, they were running out. One said they just went around the block and ran out. One said they went 15 minutes. Last night's team didn't realize what was going to happen, so they only took 10 extra sandwiches on top of 10 extra meals on top of theirs, and then they said they ran out in 15 minutes. They underestimated. So they are running out very, very quickly. We had 150, and we ran out in an hour. So it's absolutely crazy. Normally, we hit a stop sign. We look right, we look left, we look forward, and we see where the people are standing, and then that's the way we turn. And last night, the very first stop sign out of the headquarters, there were people in all 3 directions. And Brock said, well, which way do I go? And I'm like, just sit here, and they can all come. So we sat there for like 10 minutes, and people from all around came to the stop sign to get their meals. And I think we went through 30 right there at the first stop sign out of the headquarters.
Now, is this kids and adults?
Absolutely. Kids, adults, and if a dog is hungry, we will give one to a dog, too. They're always the last one to get fed in a crisis.
Now, is this running in correlation with the loss of SNAP benefits, do you think? Do you think that's what's causing this crisis?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the SNAP benefits that made a dent in the crisis, but it didn't even meet the need as it was. That's why the peanut butter jelly truck exists. We have to still supplement what SNAP can do. There are hungry people out there who don't qualify for SNAP at all. So there is a huge food insecurity crisis that isn't even met by SNAP. But when we take away the SNAP, that is absolutely devastating, because there are people who were counting on that, and their cash was going towards rent, utilities, something else that they weren't planning on having to use their cash for. So now people are in an absolute crisis trying to decide what is most important to use my limited money on.
You know, Amy, a lot of people say, well, I don't want to say it's the majority, but I have heard some people say that with the loss of the SNAP benefits, that people should just go out and get a job. That's going to solve this problem. When you hear something like that, what's your take on it?
Most people on SNAP benefits do have a job. People don't realize that. There are child care workers, for example, out there taking care of everybody's children so everybody can work. And those are the people who are keeping this nation running. And they are making $11 an hour and able to qualify for SNAP benefits. So we have teachers in the classroom who are hungry today.
It's an unbelievable thing. What are the people saying who are coming up to the truck? Is there any conversation, what they're saying about why this is such a big need right now, how bad things are?
We are getting a lot of God bless yous, a lot of thank yous. And I don't even want to tell you how many times, even before this crisis, people came up to the truck and said, thank God I haven't eaten all day.
Do you think that most people in Marion understand this, understand that this is going on, understand that this is obviously a big need in town?
Well, I think the people who are affected by this absolutely understand what's going on, but the people who have never been affected by this can't possibly understand what's going on, because you don't know what you don't know. And until you experience something like this, or until you are enmeshed in this culture, you don't really realize how bad it is. And until someone tells you to your face, I haven't eaten all day, can you help me? You don't feel that urgency to do anything about it. So it's not that they're horrible people. They're just living their lives based on what they know. But when someone presents to you with a crisis that says, I am hungry, then you're inspired to do something about it. So, Scott, thank you for the opportunity to tell Marion what's going on this morning, because just knowing is going to inspire the good-hearted people of Marion. They're the ones who have made this whole agency go, and Marion is just magical. There's no other way to describe it. The way Marion works together and loves its neighbors when they realize there's a need is nothing short of magic.
That is absolutely tremendous. And it sounds like you got a lot of Uncrustables, which is a good thing, but if people still want to help, what should they do?
We will be passing out all the Uncrustables that come in until they're gone, so people can continue to drop off Uncrustables or peanut butter and jelly. And I want to encourage everybody on our webpage or on our Facebook page, the pinned post has a brand new list of community meals where people can eat every day of the week at a different church or community partner who's putting together a hot meal. Every day of the week, somewhere in town, someone is putting together a supper. And then also there are new community resources lists for the food pantries. It was just updated this week. I have copies in English and Spanish in picture format. I converted it so that you can share it around on your phone. So that is at the top of my Peanut Butter Jelly Truck Facebook page. And I want to ask people to print those off and give them to people who don't have internet access. Hang them up around town where you think people might need to see this information. Let's get the word out and share with everybody how they can get help during this crisis. Of course, anyone can support us by all the different ways. Support our peanut butter jelly truck, Lumpy Loads of Laundry, I Wish for Prom Project. There are a lot of ways that you can support the community through us. You can go to Luke311Ministries.org to learn more, or just the Peanut Butter Jelly Truck Facebook page.
That all sounds great. So Uncrustables, any kind of peanut butter and jelly donations, mm-hmm. whatever people want to do, they take it to the headquarters, 503 Ballantyne, and that'll help the cause here that and the need that certainly is going on.
Absolutely. We would love to partner with anyone in Marion. Every little bit together compounds the love. It's just beautiful when it's all combined together. It's so much more powerful when everybody's love and everybody's resources work together. It's amazing. Marion is really full of the most wonderful people.
Amy, one final question here. You do a great thing, and obviously people love to see this, and I know you have a great staff there of volunteers that help you. But when you go out and you see all these people, now especially with the SNAP benefits not getting out, and they are in such need, and these are the only meals they're eating that day, what kind of toll does that take on you? It's great to hear that you're giving them food, but that has to be awful tough to see that day in and day out.
Well, compassion fatigue is real, and I worry about that for my drivers because I worry about it for myself, too. And I've experienced that in different areas of my own professional career, too. I used to be a teacher for 18 years. So I know the warning signs. I know how to put the boundaries in place to keep myself fresh. And quite honestly, a crisis like this is a nice kick in the pants to light a fire under me to get me going and make me look for creative solutions to problems. So a nice kick in the pants is a good thing for me to combat the compassion fatigue because it reignites my passion. So I do have some skills and experience, though, recognizing the warning signs. I know how to put boundaries in place, and that's how I deal with it for me, and I try to make sure that my staff are supported to meet the needs so that it doesn't happen to them.
Has there been any kind of negative feedback or confusion when it comes to the Uncrustables?
Oh, yeah. I spent yesterday fighting for my life in my inbox. People thought that was a big waste to ask the community for something that could be made so inexpensively. But I didn't just on a whim say, hey, let's see how much money we can get the community to waste on us. Because if that was my goal, I would have said, give me money and I'll pay myself a salary, right? That is not what we were doing. We really thought this through. We decided there was no way we could just manage an undetermined amount of sandwiches every day. I had so many people say, I can bring you 200 sandwiches on Saturday. I think I had 5 people say that. But I don't know if I have the volunteer power to get them all out on Saturday. So I can't just promise my volunteers time away without knowing what they have available. They have a lot of flexibility with their roles, and that's why my volunteers stay with me. I think this system works, and I'm not going to just assume that they're going to have extra time to come early without talking to each one, and there are so many of them. There is no way that was going to work. I just didn't have the structure or the manpower in place to manage more homemade sandwiches for a short-term crisis.
Were you surprised that you received criticism for this, and it sounds like a good deal of criticism for asking for Uncrustables?
Maybe a little surprised, but I'm not upset about it because people are passionate and they're trying to solve a problem and they had an idea that they thought was good. And of course, everybody wants to be heard when they think they have a good idea. I know. I was glad Marion listened to me when I said, help me start a peanut butter jelly truck. So I'm not mad about it. I tried really hard to explain to everybody why we came to this decision. I do wish people would trust me a little bit that I did think it through, but I am not mad that someone was trying to help me come up with a better solution to a problem. I always like good, I always love ideas. Maybe it's something I didn't think of, and then I can grab it and run. So I always encourage ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Amy, we're getting some feedback here this morning. One of our listeners is asking, is there a phone number that people can reach you at?
We do have a phone number, but we try to encourage the communications to go through Facebook Messenger and our email, and then if they leave a voicemail, I would have to get back to them later because I do work a full-time job. I'm taking a little bit of leave to do this radio interview this morning, so we don't have any staff to answer a phone, but the number is 740-360-0692, but you're going to get an answering machine, just so you know, because we don't have any paid staff to manage an office.
Well, and I want to let people know we'll be on the air through 1 o'clock this afternoon, so if you call here, I can relay the message to you via Messenger, and maybe that's the best way to do it.
Wonderful. Perfect. Thank you.
So we'll make that happen. Again, Uncrustables, peanut butter, jelly, donations, whatever you might have, 503 Ballantyne is the address to drop those things off. The peanut butter jelly truck, the guest this morning has been Amy Orr Parker, one of the proprietors of the peanut butter jelly truck, and what an important thing this is. Amy, thank you so much this morning for taking a break and joining us. Hopefully it'll help, and we can keep on keeping on.
Thank you so much, Scott, for the chance to talk to Marion. They're magical, and it's really an honor to be here. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Amy Orr Parker with the Peanut Butter Jelly Truck, certainly. And I can say that Matt Morgan was on time this morning. We can say that. Matt, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think it's good that the, you know, people in Marion are showing up with the Uncrustables to give to the, you know, give back to the community.
I understand their idea of criticism, but that's not really necessary, I don't think.
Like, as far as...
Why are you buying Uncrustables?
Well, I mean, I think it makes sense. I mean, you know, bread goes stale.
Well, right, no, but the criticism that she got, I thought was kind of odd.
I think some people just like to complain, personally.
Some people do like to complain, that's for sure. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, what are Uncrustables?
They're a peanut butter jelly sandwich that is in, it doesn't have any bread crust on it. It's kind of like it looks like a taco shell, but it's bread, and it's in the frozen section at the grocery store.
They're circles. They do not look like taco shells.
They look like taco shells to me.
And, well, Matt's there on time today. That's nice.
It is nice.
I talked to him last week on his program, and he was going to try to find out what's happening to these people that are deported to El Salvador. Has he found anything about that?
No, not yet. But he'll look. He'll maybe by the next hour we'll have that information.
Okay, well, next time I'm at the store, I'm going to try to just see what the Uncrustables are in the store.
Yeah, just go down to the freezer section and you'll see them there.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
And again, the phone lines are open here this morning, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944, and we thank Amy Orr Parker for joining us this morning, one of the proprietors of the Peanut Butter Jelly Truck. And again, the headquarters, 503 Ballantyne here in Marion. You can drop off donations, peanut butter jelly. Uncrustables right now is what's preferred, so hopefully that's what happens. Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
Yes.
That is a reason to love your city.
Oh, always has been.
Because of people like her. People who are in the shadows working little miracles here and there.
Sounds like you were touched by this.
I think it's fantastic. It's good to know that those people are here. These are the people we need to put in Marion to market the outside businesses. We've got heart and soul here, and all of the political bullshit is just muddying the waters. We need more positive stories like this. And if Amy is listening, if she would get in touch with me, I was going to order some food from Sam's Club to help out. I thought, I did not know that they were going for the Uncrustables. I was thinking in terms of peanut butter and actually jelly and jams, Smucker's jellies and jams, and peanut butter. I'd like to find out if that's okay to order a shipment for them, or do they prefer the Uncrustables?
Well, I think what she was saying was during this time, the problem is volunteers have to make the sandwiches, and they can't freeze those sandwiches for an extended period of time, so that's why they're asking for the Uncrustables to meet the immediate need, obviously, that they're having because of the loss of the SNAP benefits.
Yeah. Plus, I'm curious, how do they distribute these? Do they put them in paper bags?
You know, I don't know. I don't know what the packaging is, but I know they do it by truck, and they go out, and they, you know.
Because I was thinking, gee whiz, while I was looking for Uncrustables and peanut butter and jelly on Sam's Club, I saw all of these House of Lance crackers, etc. Those could be a little bundle that could be put in if they distribute them in a bag with three or four food items. You know,
I certainly don't think it would be turned away. I think they would be glad for that as well.
Yep. Well, hey, this is a highlight of Marion, and it needs to be promoted more. And this is just one of the benefits of living in Marion, and good on them.
Good on them. You got it. Thank you. All right, again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, it's interesting because I did go down in the grocery store yesterday and look at the Uncrustables section, and it did look quite picked over. And I wondered if there was any correlation.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there is, but I mean, I like Uncrustables myself, so the Uncrustables section is usually picked through pretty well.
You always like to throw that cold water on there, don't you?
Oh no, I mean, it's just.
Let's just say it's because of this that it's good. Marion's heart that went out and got the Uncrustables.
Well, I'm sure it is because I mean, like, there's always Uncrustables when I go to get Uncrustables. It's just like, I mean, there's definitely been Uncrustables missing. But I mean, I'm sure that if like shelves were missing, then yeah, I'm sure that you know, this is the reasoning.
Well, it definitely looked heavily picked over, and we're glad that that's the case, and hopefully they're going to help people. But this is a problem, and this is what people don't think about. You know, we can sit here and argue politics all day and so on and so forth. 65 people a day, and they run out in the last 15 minutes, usually every night, and now they're running out in the first 15 minutes and distributing all of this food. I mean, are people really thinking about what's going on in this country? I mean, is the get a job reasoning here really the way to go?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, as of currently, I would do something. I don't know that. I mean, I don't know. I figure you'd do something to eat.
See, here's why. People don't seem to understand why certain people had a problem with that $10,000 party. Okay, nobody's saying you can't have a party. Have a party all day long. But the problem is it was a government-funded party. It was a heavily government-funded party. And there are needs in Marion, like this one, a 501c3. There are needs, like the homeless shelter, that people could use. When's the last time city government kicked in any money in those directions? I don't think they do. Now, I'm not saying that's a political thing, because I don't think that was done under any previous administration either. And that somebody doesn't bring this up during the loss of SNAP benefits, if it's still the case, at Monday's city council meeting, I think that's a little shameful.
Well, I mean, there's a fair chance just none of, I mean, I don't know. I mean, has the homeless shelter had any representatives come ask for funds, and has the Luke 311 Ministries had any representatives come and ask for assistance?
If you are a city council member, you certainly can ask. You know what's going on in your ward, or at least I hope you do.
Sure.
And if you don't, you know now.
But, I mean, it's the rule. I mean, well, I mean, I not.
You don't think in Marion that the politicians understand how many people are on SNAP benefits and Medicaid in this area? If they don't, go down and figure it out.
Well, I mean, it's an odd. I can't even think of the word. I'm not trying to be whatever the word is. But
so you want people to crawl in there and beg for it?
No. Well, I mean, it's kind of the old thing of, you know, closed mouth don't get fed. Now, I'm not trying to be, like, facetious with that because, I mean, I understand the situation is quite literally about feeding people. But, like, I mean, if you don't ask for help, why would you get help?
If you don't, I guess I'm confused on what a city council person who represents a ward of the city is supposed to be doing. Are they not supposed to be representing the needs in their ward? Aren't they the spokesperson of that ward? And with the loss of SNAP benefits and now the longest government shutdown in the history of the country with Thanksgiving upon us, they don't understand this? They don't understand this, I think we got a problem.
I mean, is it a two-way street? Sure. Could the city council people come asking them? Sure. But wouldn't it make just more sense if you're the one who needs the thing to go ask for the thing?
Well, guess what? You might be busy every night delivering sandwiches.
There's phone numbers. Make a call. Send a text message. They'll get
back
to you.
Well, there you go. Call your city council member, I guess. I guess that's what it takes. Call your city council member. Call the administration and say, you want money sent that way. You know, I don't think anybody had to call Columbus City Council for them to allocate all that money to the food banks, which they did before the SNAP benefits were even lost. Now, why in Marion don't we understand that? We've got a greater need than Columbus does.
Well, I don't know that I'd say that.
Percentage-wise, we do. There's lower income in Marion than there is in Columbus.
Yeah, but there's also like a million people in Columbus. No right. Exaggeration.
No. The population is larger, but the need for the people that we have on that scale is absolutely larger in Marion. Our percentages are higher. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, I don't know.
Now, why did nobody have to go down to Columbus City Council and say, hey, give us money. This is going to be a problem.
Well, I don't know. I mean, is Columbus broke? I highly doubt Columbus is broke.
Well, I don't know that Marion's broke. I haven't heard that from anybody.
It's my understanding.
Did you not listen to the election coverage the other night? I don't know that I heard anybody say Marion was broke.
Oh, well, I mean, the state's about to come in and do an audit of the finances and then put like, some restrictions on. I mean, that's pretty rough.
So you don't understand the juxtaposition of the $10,000 party in the park versus issues like these?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't have funded a $10,000 party in the park either.
But it was.
I mean, I understand.
But that's the problem.
I mean, you can't get the $10,000 back and reallocate it. It's already been spent.
No, but...
So you're just going to spend... Now you're out... if you gave, like...
I think you're missing the point. Completely missing the point. The point is, that's why people don't like things like that. And that's why government tends not to do things like that. Fund parties, because there are greater needs in the community that government money laying there. If you've got 10,000 free extra dollars, maybe you should spend it on things like these.
Well, I mean, I agree, but you see, but they spent the 10,000 free extra dollars.
Go ahead, caller.
You know, this issue, I think, would be a good argument for bringing home economics back in to school. We haven't had home economics for how many years?
They had home ec when I was in school. It was actually a mandatory class.
And what did they teach?
They taught you how to cook and whatnot. I don't know. They did things.
When you say they taught you how to cook, how?
It was a junior class. I went to Tri Rivers junior year. At River Valley, I do believe it was mandatory, though. I mean, friends, I mean, they taught you how to make, like, I don't know. They made, like, some kind of bread and things. I don't know. I mean, you'd have to ask the people who actually did it.
Well, the big key is that they teach nutrition and food value. Compare and contrast. You spend $25 on a pizza. What will $25 buy in the way of food from a grocery store? The pizza may last you only one night, whereas that $25 that is spent on food at a grocery store could last you the better part of a week.
I feel like that's just a logical conclusion, though. I don't know that I needed somebody to teach me that.
Well, you would think that, but until somebody's brain is programmed to think that way, it's kind of like algebra. You know, it's a different way of thinking. Trigonometry, etc. A different way of thinking.
Yeah, but what I don't understand is there seems to be some kind of misconception, because we're talking about the food card here, and that clearly is what Amy thinks is driving that, and if your need goes up that much in that week that the food card is missing, this is an issue. Now, you can't use the food card at McDonald's. You can't use the food card at the pizza shop. You can't use the food card in places like those. So this is a loss of benefits that is causing people to not be able to go to the grocery store and buy food. And you know what? If you go to the grocery store, I hate to say, but you can probably get a pizza a lot cheaper than you're going to get the box of Uncrustables. So what do you want? I know the bag of chips is a lot cheaper than the vegetables.
But I can guarantee you, you give me $25, I can probably get you close to a whole week of food for $25 for a family, husband, wife, and two kids.
Okay, but I guess my point is, again, they don't have the $25. They can't spend that $25 at the pizza place because the food card doesn't scan there.
Well, there's a combination, too. You know, the whole food stamp, supplemental, nutritional, blah, AP, whatever, has been so boogered up with so many people scamming the whole system, and it's being reset. The sad fact of the matter is that they're playing football, political football, when they could have concessions. Okay, you know, let's do this so that the people will still get their benefits, etc., until we figure out a solution that we're fighting over this element.
Well, but now wait a second here. That's not exactly true. The president could fund this, have funded this at any time. And a matter of fact, yesterday a federal court ordered him to fund it for November. He has chosen not to.
But where did it all stem from? It's the Democrats saying, no, we want extended. We want the health care program, etc.
So if that's true, if those evil Democrats are stopping the food stamps, the president has been ordered by a federal court to fund it. Why isn't he doing it?
He also made a post on...
You know, it's not just the evil Democrats. There's plenty of evil on both sides.
Well, this isn't both sides. This is one man, one president, being ordered by a federal court to fund it. And he does have the money to fund it. He does have the ability to fund it. And he's not.
He
Why?
Said. By the way, he made a post on Truth Social basically saying that he couldn't because the court said he couldn't, and if the court said he could, it'd be his honor, too. And then the courts ordered him to do it, and then he still didn't do it.
So this is one. I don't want to hear a Republican, Democrat, Congress. This is one man who's being ordered to do it, who said he would do it if the courts ordered him, and he's not. Why?
Well, you know, one thing, too. The United States has gotten so lazy and complacent. You may recall 13 years ago, Charlie Evers and some other crazy guy started a community garden trying to get people to put 10-foot by 10-foot plots to grow food for themselves. That is so simple to do over the summertime, to be somewhat self-sufficient. We had a bunch of surplus food, and we went to some of the homeless shelters. They couldn't take it. The Salvation Army couldn't take it. We ended up taking it out to the Senior Citizens Center. But again, it all goes back to educate, the beginning. All the crime and the statistics start from the home. A lack of a good family foundation. An absent father, and a woman with multiple kids from different fathers. It's got to start at the home, and education can certainly start that, be the catalyst for the future adults to start thinking about how to survive.
I'm pretty sure crime is based on economics.
Well,
I mean, if you don't have money, you're gonna steal and rob things to make sure you can live.
Not spanking my butt for doing something wrong, and he lets me run around and hang around gangs and stuff at night, and I don't have any money, so I'm economically disadvantaged. So I'll go rob a store.
Well, I mean, if it's either that or starve, are you going to rob the store or are you going to starve?
Well, what are we talking about?
I don't know what we're talking about because I'm trying to talk about Marion, Ohio, November 7th, 2025.
Well, I was talking about a level of morality and where it starts in the home. It has to start in the home with making kids go to school and the school systems giving survival skills like home economics and things of that nature. How to balance a checkbook, how to handle a checkbook, how to look and think about what are you going to do once you get your diploma from high school. Are you going to walk into a job? Are you going to go to technical school? Are you going to go to college? Or are you just going to look around for a job we've got to instill ambition for people to make themselves better. And hey, if you want to be a garbage man, more power to you. Do what you feel like doing, but aspire to be the best at what you pursue.
Okay.
And become a good cog to make a better society.
All right. Thank you.
But hey, I'm willing to buy peanut butter and jelly for the jelly truck. So if somebody can contact me, I've left the message and sent an email. Hopefully if somebody's listening, they can get in touch with me, and we'll figure something out.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I guess the point is, it's November 7th, 2025. People are in need in the city you live in the county you live in, and this is a problem. And Uncrustables would help. Peanut butter and jelly would help. It's 503 Ballantyne. There you go. 740-383-9944. I don't know why these are such hard concepts for people. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, like that particular caller there, everything is always blamed on evil Democrats. Now, if people don't get their health insurance and their rates raised 2 or 3 times, it's going to be on account of the evil Democrats. They want to blame everything on the Democrats, and they don't see how the Democrats are trying to help people. That's just what I wanted to say.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I'm not even sure why this conversation is about Congress. The president has been ordered to do it. He said he would do it if the courts ordered, and he's not. Now, why is that?
1 second, I want to find the post. Oh, I don't know why it's... there we go, it's better. I don't know why it's that way. I mean, he said he would do it. Here we go. It's loading. I mean, yeah. Our government lawyers do not think we have the legal authority to pay SNAP with certain monies we have available, and now two courts have issued conflicting opinions on what we can and cannot do. I do not want Americans to go hungry just because the radical Democrats refuse to do the right thing and reopen the government. Therefore, I have instructed our lawyers to ask the courts to clarify how we can legally fund SNAP as soon as possible. It is already delayed enough due to the Democrats keeping the government closed through the monthly payment date, and even if we get immediate guidance, it will unfortunately be delayed while states get the money out. If we are given the appropriate legal direction by the court, it will be my honor to provide the funding, just like I did with the military and law enforcement pay. And then the rest of that's just telling them to reopen the government.
So, you learn from that what?
Well, he didn't do any of it. The courts, well, I mean, they gave him, I guess, legal direction. They ordered him to do it, and he has not done it.
And why is that?
Because you can blame the Democrats on social media.
Right, which is our problem. That's why I get so tired of hearing Democrat and Republican on this issue. This issue started because of a government shutdown, but the loss of SNAP benefits at this point are not connected to that. They could still be coming. One person makes that decision right now, and why he's not, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't know. President's got the power of the purse strings while the government shut down.
Right, but let's be honest. Who's doing it?
Well, I mean, I just said the president's got the power of the purse strings.
Right. So why would you make that heartfelt post about you want to do it, it'd be your pleasure, la-di-da-di-da, and not do it?
I mean, I don't know, because I think that his people are going to just believe him, and then they're probably not going to see the fact that the courts ordered him to pay, I guess.
Well,
it's his assumption.
You know what?
My assumption.
Again, it's 503 Ballantyne. That's the headquarters for the peanut butter jelly truck. And obviously, there is a need right now, and who knows how long this is going to go on. But peanut butter jelly, Uncrustables, things that they need right now. And hopefully, this community, as it has, will turn out for things like that. And we can only hope that the food banks are getting the money that Governor DeWine said he was going to send to the food banks, and we can only hope that something is done. You know, this is a rough situation for people, and I don't think they really care about politics right now. You know, if you can't eat that night, if you have to go to a truck to get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and that's the only meal you're eating that day, I don't think you probably care about the Republicans or the Democrats. I don't think that's the first thing on your mind.
Well, I mean, probably not. I mean, you got bigger things to worry about. So, you know, there's that. Also, I'd like to mention that Donald Trump has once again called on the Republicans to terminate the filibuster.
Well, that's very interesting. Because he wants to get the government open.
I guess, yeah.
Well, you know what? What?
Do you think he's got the support to stop the filibuster?
I don't know, because I think there are a lot of Republicans who would say, if we do this, they're going to do it to us. And it could be happening in about a year.
I don't see... Yeah. I think it's... I mean, I think there's probably a good number of Republicans who wouldn't vote in favor of that.
Well, we got to take a break coming up here in just a few seconds, but remember, 503 Ballantyne. Uncrustables, peanut butter jelly, whatever you can do to help people in need. It would be much appreciated, and we thank Amy Orr Parker from the Peanut Butter Jelly Truck for joining us this morning. We'll be back after this.
From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't, can you do something in the Bozo voice for those people?
You know, the funny thing is, and as I mentioned before, my voice and Bozo's pretty much ended up sounding the same. I'll tell you one quick story. My wife and I were having dinner in a restaurant,